Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 25. Proverbs 25. I'd like to deal with the last three verses of chapter 25 in Proverbs. Proverbs 25, verses 26 to 28. A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. It is not good to eat much honey. So for men to search their own glory is not glory. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. A believer, one that has been saved and kept by the grace of God, is not saved by works, but rather saved by grace. And I'm gonna deal with that in the second service, Lord willing. I want to deal with how is a sinner really saved. But this believer, he's not saved by works, he's not kept by his works. He doesn't become more holy. There's not a progressive sanctification. What does that mean? That means he doesn't get better and better. Grows in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, yes. But our holiness before God is in Christ, and that doesn't grow. But though he doesn't grow in holiness, he is truly zealous after a walk that is consistent with what he professes. In Titus chapter 2 and verses 11 to 14, the scripture says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Now, based on what we know about the scriptures, we know that that does not mean all men without exception. We know that. There's too many scriptures that bear that out. But what it means is Almighty God in His grace has appeared to all men, Jew and Gentile. You know, the Jews thought at one time there's no such thing as a saved Gentile. They're just dogs is all they are. But the scripture bears out that God saves whomsoever He will, Jew and Gentile, teaching us that denying ungodliness, what does that mean? Denying a lack of reverence toward God. God's people, they don't say, "Well, I'm saved by grace, and so it doesn't really matter how I walk." Oh, I beg your pardon. It does matter. The scripture bears out, teaching us that denying ungodliness, or that reverence toward God, and worldly lust or desires, we should live soberly. What does that mean? Discreetly, righteously, or uprightly and godly, God-honoring manner in this present world, looking for that blessed hope or the fulfillment or the realization of the confidence that we have and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That is, when we shall see Him as He is, we'll be changed into His likeness. And the Scripture declares, "Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people." What does that, word peculiar mean? It means, now this is a quote, I just looked it up. "One selected from among the nations for His own possession." I'm pretty clear in it. One selected from the nation, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Those who know though they struggle with indwelling sin, that body of death, that's what Paul the Apostle called it, this body of death. They struggle with indwelling sin. This is an amazing thing. The Lord has paid the debt of his people. He's paid their debt before the law. It's paid. Sin doesn't have dominion over it. It doesn't rule them. It doesn't rule them. They struggle with it because it's still there. But though we struggle with it, we don't agree with it, we hate it, we despise it. That's what Job said. I loathe myself. But we desire to live for God's glory. We want that. God's people are at war within. They're just struggling. Well, knowing that, knowing the consistency that a believer desires, he wants that. And he sees himself struggling, and he knows he's struggling, and he sees something of his failures. Well, these three verses right here deal with the walk of a believer. Verse 26 says, a righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. Now here's the first thing I know. There are men and women in this world that are righteous before God. A righteous man. I know they're not righteous in themselves. I understand. I believe that. Scripture says, Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. What does that mean? In themselves. They've not made themselves righteous. They are found to be righteous only in the Lord Jesus Christ. As I just said, having their sin debt paid by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't owe anything to the law. Why? Because Christ finished. He's the end of the law for righteousness. They're robed in his righteousness. I can't even understand what I'm saying, truly, but in being in union with him. The scripture declares that to be robed in his righteousness. And they're righteous being the possessors of faith. Righteous before God. And like I said, I know that there are some righteous men. The scripture says concerning Noah, Genesis 7:1, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And when God says that, it's so. Those made righteous, being one with Christ, are still liable or susceptible to stumble. Righteous before God. Was Noah a man righteous before God? Yes. How do we know that? God said he was. Did Noah stumble? Yes. Noah came out of the ark, planted a vineyard, got drunk, drank the wine, got drunk. Ham, his son, saw him. Noah's drunkenness, God overruled in Noah's actions, but his drunkenness was wrong. Abraham lied about Sarah being his sister. That was his wife. And he was afraid that they were going to kill him because of her. So he said, no, she's my sister. Moses struck the rock twice. What did God tell him to do? He struck it the first time. Picture of Christ being stricken by God. The next time the people didn't have water, what did the Lord tell him to do? Speak to the rock. Moses hit the rock again. Did it have consequences? Yes, it did. You'll not go into the promised land. He saw it, but he went in. David, a man after God's own heart. Was David a believer? Yes, sir. He was God's servant, God's man. What happened? He took another man's wife. Was unfaithful with her. Had her husband killed. He was a murderer. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. Did it have any consequences whatsoever? Yes, it did. What happened? Nathan, the prophet, came to David and said, "You're the man." Told him the story. You know the story. "You're the man." And he said, "You have given the enemies of the Lord reason to blaspheme." The baby that was conceived by that adulterous act died. And the sword never left the house of David. Did it have consequences? Yes, it did. Were these men believers? Yes, they were. Peter. Lord told him, he said, "Before the cock crows two times, you're going to deny me three times." It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. I'll die before I disobey you or embarrass you or deny you. And he did. So here's the scripture. The scripture says that a righteous man falling, straying, wavering, that's the word, before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. A troubled or a soiled fountain, spoiled, loses its usefulness. Why? Because you don't trust it. I got a creek that runs right in front of my house. Water. But I don't trust it. What do you mean? I don't trust to drink it. That's what I don't know what's upstream. I don't want to swim in it. I don't want to drink it. It's unserviceable to me as far as drinking it. There's no refreshment from it, enjoyment from it, in drinking from a soiled fountain. It loses its character. I trust what comes out. I got a filter in my house. What does that mean? I really don't even trust the water that's coming out of the, you know, completely. I wouldn't put a filter on it. What? A righteous man wavering, falling, slipping, which is, we're all liable to this. But here's the thing, it has consequences. It says a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. Here's the second word. It is not good to eat much honey. So, or likewise, for men to search their own glory is not glory. Now, first thing, we dealt recently with this subject of honey to the believer. It was same chapter, verse 16. Just turn back. Proverbs 25:16, it says, "Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it." Now, obviously, honey, and I'm just going back, just making a couple of statements of what we looked at a few weeks ago. Have you found honey? Eat so much, there's permission. The Spirit of God is giving permission to do, eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled with it and vomit it. Well, and just to refresh your memory on what we looked at, that honey right here, it's using honey, the actual physical stuff made from bees as honey, but that it speaks of the pleasures of this life that in themselves are not evil. The things that the Lord has provided for us in this life, that those things that are not unlawful, immoral, I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about pleasures, you know, of just being able to rest, being able to do whatever. But things that are not illegal, immoral. They're things in this life in themselves that are not evil. They're honey. They're sweet. They're pleasurable. But giving time and attention to them at the expense of neglecting the gospel is the warning here. What does Scripture say? Seek ye first. Bam. Seek ye first. Number one, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. So, too much honey is what it's on. Too much of the things in this life that are good, that's been given to us for our pleasure and things that the Lord has provided. Too much honey. When these things become overly used and the precedent is set on them, then they become the cares of this world. Things that choke out the word is what it's saying. So first of all, the first part it said, it's not good to eat much honey. Be moderate. So what he said, be moderate. Be careful. Be careful. But also, for men to search their own glory is not glory. Now, let me tell you this, that the way that scripture, and I've tried to search it out, tried to seek the Lord for the understanding of that passage of scripture, the way it's written there, it's hard to be understood as we would naturally interpret those words. I mean, for men to search their own glory is not glory. For men to search their own glory, meaning as being those that have been the cause of their salvation, seeking their own glory, seeking or being resting in their ability to maintain their integrity or something like it. You know, pride is all that is, and arrogance, and it's not so. We're kept by the power of God. We're not kept by us. So when it says for men to search their own glory is not glory, those things are true. That's true. But that's not what this means right here. The meaning from all the commentaries and looking the words up, and here's what it's actually saying. The investigation of weighty matters. Now this is what for men to search their own glory. That is the investigation of weighty matters is not profitable. It's not good. Those things that are more than a man can bear or understand. There's some things in this book right here that is more than what we can completely comprehend. More than we completely can understand. There's some things that has been set forth. Hold your place right there. Turn to 2 Corinthians 12. For men to search their own glory. 2 Corinthians 12. The Apostle Paul is saying something. I'm going to read the first 9 verses here because of it. It's dealing with exactly what this is. Now remember what the scripture said in Proverbs. For men to search their own glory. Glory. Remember that word. Glory. Honor. For men to search their own honor. For men to think too highly of their ability to find out things that are not revealed is what he's talking about. He said that's not glory. Paul said, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth, for such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise. And heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful or possible for a man to utter. For such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but how I forbear, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might be that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, what did Paul say? Paul said, I knew a man 14 years ago, above that. And he was caught up to paradise. And he said, heard utterances beyond the power of a man to put into words, words that are not even able or permitted to be used. He said, I heard them. And then he said, should I desire to boast? He said, if I start boasting and start telling things that I heard that I'm not permitted to say, he said, I'll be seen as nothing more than a braggart. He said, so I'll abstain. And to keep me from being puffed up because of the flesh, because of the greatness of the revelations that were given me, he said, the Lord gave me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from being exalted. So the scripture says back in Proverbs, it says, it's not good to eat much honey and for men to search out their own glory, for men to go beyond what is revealed in the Word of God or try to explain more than is revealed in the Word of God is not glory. I've heard Brother Scott say this how many times. I know y'all have too. He said, I'm not here to explain it. I'm here to proclaim it. Even though Paul struggled with the things that God had taught him, he the Lord gave him a thorn in the flesh. But do you know, still, and I thought about this scripture. Turn over to Acts 26:24. Whenever Paul witnessed before Festus and King Agrippa of the miracle of God's sovereign grace to show mercy and compassion to whomsoever he would. Listen what Festus says. Acts 24. And I'm sorry, 26. Acts 26, verse 24. Here was Paul, and he was preaching. Now this is what God's revealed. He's telling what God's revealed. And Festus, the scripture says in Acts 26:24, and as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. He said, You're a raving maniac. What you're saying. And these are the things that Paul was stating that were revealed in Scripture. What God had revealed concerning His sovereignty. And the things that the Spirit of God had taught him to give him faith to believe. And he said it. And Festus told him, he said, you're nuts. You're talking out your head. And many of you had people tell you that. God reveals something to you concerning God's sovereignty and His electing grace. Somebody said, explain to me why God has mercy on whomsoever He will have mercy. You explain to me why. I said, I can't tell you that. I can tell you it's so, because He said it is. He told Moses that. You explain to me how that being put in Christ before the foundation of the world, I know God's people were. Why? The Spirit of God said it through the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 1:4. Having chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Explain to me why the potter has the right after out of one lump of clay, the same lump, one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. You explain to me why. I can't tell you that. Why? Because the Lord has not revealed the whys of all these things. We don't know. The secret things belong to God. That's what Deuteronomy 29:29. Secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the Lord. There's some things that the Lord has not revealed. I can't explain to you. I know it's so, because we're seated with Christ in the heavenlies right now. All God's people are in Him. Well, how in the world can God's people be seated with Christ in the heavenlies right now, and we're on earth right now? I don't know. So for a man to search his own glory and be able to say things that God has not revealed to him, that's not glory. Old Brother Henry used to say to the students, some of the students that sat under that Bible class, he said, you preach what you know. And don't get into what you don't know, because you don't know. But there's some things that we do know. And the Lord has revealed them. And if He doesn't reveal them, it's for His glory and our good. Whenever the disciples were with the Lord, John 16:12, He said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Well, the flesh would say, well, I wonder what they are. Well, it doesn't matter. The Lord has not revealed them to them. So let me ask you this, and we'll look at that last verse in just a second, and I'll be done. Who can plumb the depth of God's wisdom? Electing grace. To choose out of every nation and kindred and tribe and tongue a people. That's what Scripture says in Revelation 4. That's what the Lord did. He chose whom He would. I can't explain that. He did it according to the good pleasure of His will. That's all I can tell you. That's the truth. Particular redemption. What does that mean? It means that Christ died only for the elect. Someone says, well, I don't understand that, or I don't believe it. Well, I can understand you not understanding it, but not believing it is soul damning. He that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not hath not life. That the Lord said in John 10:15, I lay down my life for these sheep. That ends it. Done. For whom did Christ die? He said He laid down His life for the sheep. Well, Brother so-and-so over here says that He died for everybody. Well, Brother so-and-so is wrong. And God's right. Let God be true and every man a liar. That's it. It's not good to eat much honey, and for men to search their own glory is not glory. For men to seek to think that they know more than God's revealed, that's not glory. And then lastly, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Now, in this last verse, here I see the conclusion of the result of the two verses that we just looked at. Verse 26, it says, a righteous man falling down before the wicked. And the last verse says, because he that hath no rule over his own spirit. And the scripture says, for men in verse 27 to search out their own glory, the investigating of weighty matters that are beyond the revelation of God or the ability of man to comprehend, him trying to figure this out, trying to figure out more than the Lord has shown, is like a city that is broken down and without walls. It's the conclusion of what was just said. So, a man or a woman trying to go further in what the Lord has been pleased to teach, further than God has given revelation, further than what the Lord has bestowed upon us to rest in. We believe God. It's like a city unprotected. It's open to harm. It's open to error. Can you imagine somebody trying to explain something that God has not revealed? You're like a city that you know, you're broken down. You don't have walls. You have no protection. You know, this is the only protection that I got. This is only it. This is it right here. Somebody said, I don't know where you got that. I said, well, I can show you right here. This is the only protection that a believer has. The Word of God. So what do? We walk by faith. We walk by faith. Striving to walk before men as we walk, seeking the Lord, seeking His honor, being consistent with His Word, believing Him, trusting Him, knowing that His counsel is going to stand and His Word is not going to return void. You just read. It's going to accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. This is all we want to deal with right here. I don't want to get into the things that are not needful or not eternal. Somebody says, it seems like to me you're just a broken record. Thank you. Thank you. To say the same things to you. Paul says, not grievous to me. For you it's safe. We need to hear this over and over and over. Ephesians 5:1-2. Be you therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling Savior. We rejoice in those things that the Lord's taught us. We thank the Lord and pray that God's pleased to reveal them to our neighbors, our kids, our spouses. We pray God have mercy. And we know this, that He's going to do what He's pleased to do. We know that. And so therefore we bow to it. And we thank Him for His good pleasure to keep us here one more time. I pray God bless this to our hearts, to His glory, our good. Amen. All right. Let's